five, I actually was signed over, like given ownership to Epstein. Saw the papers. It was like signed like a product. Epstein Island, underground tunnels underneath there, tortured and trafficked by Epstein.
Epstein was also involved in science projects on children.
Epstein had a lot of Mossad connections.
A deeper perspective that maybe Mossad is brokering in the trafficking of children.
They did a lot of programming that I was like completely out of control. I was going, while I was sleeping, I was sneaking out and killing people.
You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
Hey friends, DanDuvall.com is your home for the Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall podcast. Check it out. Check out our past episodes, and please consider becoming a podcast patron to help us do what we are doing. Overcomer Accelerated is available at overcomeraccelerated.com. If you happen to be a survivor and are looking for additional support on your healing journey, and of course, the website bridemovement.com will take you to the entire world of our ministry. We're going to get started. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. I am here for another round with my friend Hope. And we got to, the last time we sat down, so many things, but not enough. Not enough. Friends, if you didn't catch my most recent interview with Hope, please go back and check it out. Also, go back through our archives, because over the years, and I'm talking going all the way back to 2017, I have had Hope on at various points in her healing journey to talk about her memories, things that she was discovering, and those have been highly illuminating programs throughout the years. And I'm looking forward to this conversation. Welcome back, Hope.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
You know, you never cease to amaze me. With all that you have overcome, all that you've been through, the continued stand that you are taking, not only to take the healing journey that you took, but to now stand and use your voice to speak to, I mean, really high-level stuff.
Yeah.
And stand your ground and say, no, I know what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I witnessed.
Right.
And I'm not intimidated.
Yeah, you know, I've had a lot of rejection, with specifically from the church, because I think they think that we should just focus on love all the time, which love is like everything, but part of love is truth and acknowledging what's truly going on and coming alongside those that are going through this horrible torture and programming. I'm so grateful to be back here. It just feels like there's not enough people like you guys that are really standing in the gap for people that have been through what I've been through. I mean, we're seeing like a level of awakening, like layer by layer. And what you're doing as far as training up more people, I see all the time more and more people that are wanting to get trained to know the truth about everything. So thank you.
Well, we're just doing our part. You know, I actually strongly believe that part of our mandate and my personal mandate is to raise up an army to deprogram the world like that. That is a major agenda of Jesus Christ this time and season. He wants to restore people's minds to their own governance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, I think that part of the reason why the Lord wanted me to write the book was...
And please tell us the name and title of your book, by the way.
Yeah, it's called To Tell the Truth.
Yes.
And Hope Burl Green... you can get it on Amazon, but I was not real sure, like, should I put all of this in here or not? And the Lord was really very clear, and I had to kind of stand against some of the voices saying, no, don't do that, because it really all needs to be shared so that people can wake up. And he said, you know, hope is if somebody knew that they were going to be in a crash, would they want to put their seatbelt on ahead of time? And that's kind of the way it is, like the belt of truth. You know, you have to have that truth to really know how to fight, to know how to help. So that's the whole reason why I ended up putting all of that in there, so that people would be kind of awakened to what's really going on. Because whether they realize it or not, if they're not a deep level MK Ultra survivor like me, they're being programmed every day by the food we eat, by TV, by the pharma, so many things. Like people will stand in front of them. They do a lot of programming through trance work. So really what they say doesn't sink in. It just kind of goes in and they don't even realize it. It's even been in the mainstream media that they were using, they specifically said mind control on Facebook really program people to vote for Obama during the 2008 and 2012 election year. They were specifically said psychology to really cause a trance, to cause people to side with him. Of course, that was very strategic. They were doing that on purpose.
Well, and we're going to get into that, I think, in this conversation, because, you know, a lot of people realize if they're very honest with themselves, that the way we experience social media is tailored by something that can think, mm-hmm. whether it's the algorithms that sit behind the self-learning models, the artificial intelligence that drives our ads, drives our feeds, or you know, someone that's, you know, programming it to do exactly that. It's mm-hmm. it's tailored. And I know that just this most recent election, I mean, for most of 2024, if I would open, say, a browser on my computer and it automatically populates with a news feed, my entire news feed was anti-Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Like everything was like, Donald Trump's the worst. Donald Trump is mm-hmm. bad. Donald Trump's going to ruin the world. All these, and that's the auto-populating. And it's not that I'm ever searching for how will Donald Trump ruin the world. To the contrary, I'm a right-leaning person, at least politically, because the values of the right more accurately map to mm-hmm. my Christian values at this time. Mm-hmm. And so for that reason, I felt, just as one person, right, I'm being targeted by a defamation mm-hmm. campaign that is designed to cause me to question my worldview mm-hmm. or, you know, my political leaning. Now, Facebook has definitely been used as a tool, not only of I think, grooming mm-hmm. people to think a certain way and to lean a certain way morally and politically, but obviously it's also overseen by a certain person, absolutely. Mark Zuckerberg, mm-hmm. who you have some personal experience with,
right? I have definitely seen him. He's younger than me. So when I was in rituals and being programmed, they were already grooming him and really preparing him, because they have demonic ways of knowing what your personality type is, knowing what you your giftings are, and then they try to pervert all of that. So they were ahead of time deciding, this is the person we're going to use for disinformation, for really controlling the masses through media, through mind control, really, is what it is. Because if you present something enough, then it's going to have an effect on a person. So I definitely saw him being hurt, and I saw his place on the grid, like his place in the scheme of things, because they have things planned out, you know, decades in advance of what, you know, it's the long game is what they're in for. So he was already being pretty much overseen by Soros. Soros was kind of a figure that was a presence in all the programming, a presence in all the torture, kind of overseeing all of it, really running a lot of what was going on. But he was specifically in charge of Zuckerberg as a child to make sure he was in place to cause that disinformation.
Wow. Or in what kind of facilities were you observing this?
There, mainly with this, was more of a, like a military type of situation. It's normally any of the programming is always very secluded and hidden underground or in a military base. For me, they didn't ever really allow me to know the exact location of where I was, because it put them at risk. So that a lot of times they would blindfold you. You kind of know the general location. But it definitely was like more of a military type of compound that that programming was going on in.
Goodness gracious. So they always knew what Zuckerberg was being programmed. Do you think that he legitimately cracked the code and wrote Facebook, like or at least the narrative we've been given? Or do you think that that was engineered by like a CIA op?
Oh, I definitely think it was a CIA op. I definitely think it was. Well, I know it was something that was planned ahead of time that was going to be put in place at a certain period of time. So he didn't develop it. It was developed, like you said, by the CIA, by the military. So to be a control, you know, a control over people.
So let me ask you this question. More recently, because we watched development, right? And so, you know, it comes out 2008, 2012, there is some influence in Facebook that is like, okay, definitely moving the needle on some election stuff. And, you know, then we go into a whole age of censorship big time during the first Trump administration where, I mean, suddenly many of my friends got deplatformed from major sites, including Facebook and YouTube and even PayPal. Mm-hmm. And we move into the 2020 Biden era of presidency, and that's maintained. Like, if I type COVID-19, it's like, well, we're going to fact check you on Facebook. Like, we're going to blur out your comment. You can't even read that person's comment unless you click the button that says, you know, well, you're violating the, you know, rule of the, like, not protecting yourself from devastating information if you look at what this person wrote, you know, this kind of stuff. And then suddenly, when the pendulum swings and Donald Trump's about to be elected and everything's falling apart, Biden is actually falling apart, literally falling apart. And there's like this revelation. We see Zuckerberg actually going to Donald Trump and kind of spilling the beans. Mm-hmm. This is all true. We censored. We were told to do this. Blah, blah, blah. What do you think was happening behind the scenes? I mean, having the perspective of seeing Soros oversee Zuckerberg's programming.
I think it was more of like we're telling you what we want you to know, just so we maintain control. So I believe that he didn't do that on his own. He was sent there to do that. And he was probably sent there to infiltrate at some point, at some level, to try to cause disinformation or, you know, like Satan does and like they do because they're like him, like a nugget of truth amongst a huge lie. So I think that he gave them enough of the truth to where he could continue to kind of go in his programming and what he's doing to kind of get by and stay in the good graces of them. Of course, he's, I'm sure, still getting programmed. So he's completely controlled by them.
Do you think George Soros is untouchable?
Oh, you know, I know that Papa God's bigger than him. I think he has a lot of people in a lot of places, and he controls them like, you know, like puppets. But I am seeing some, like, things that I never thought would ever happen as far as exposure and, like, things crumbling. I think it was Liz Crokin was saying recently how, you know, if we all just stood up and said, no, we're not buying this anymore. Like, if we collectively did that, we could truly make a huge difference. And I'm seeing that gradually happen. So I'm starting to see it crumble, and it's actually shocking because I didn't know if that would ever happen, you know, if people would become aware of the reality that we're really living in, of what they've gotten away with.
Wow. So a couple of years ago, we did a whole episode on Jeffrey Epstein and what they don't want you to know. I mean, that's kind of what we called it, and it actually got quite a bit of attention. You were trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein. Mm-hmm. That was part of your story.
Right.
And I think there are some things that you want to add to that conversation today. Now, more recently, and I think maybe we can start here on that subject. We were told by the director of the FBI and others that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. End of story. Thoughts?
I definitely don't think that is the whole story. If possibly somebody forced him to do that, but I don't think at all that he freely did that. I think somebody else is controlling the narrative here. I don't know about Cash or, Dan Bond or whoever else it was. I don't know, but I feel like there's just a whole lot more to the story because there's a lot of huge players. There's too many, like the cameras were out, you know, they didn't get pictures at that time. There's been many people that have been incarcerated that have come out and said, you know, there's no way in that high level of security prison, like they'd been in just a regular prison, like that he could have done that without anybody knowing that that was going on. I think there's a lot that is at stake here for a lot of high-level people. I'm praying that all of it will be exposed. Hopefully, you know, there's a lot of children that are still being trafficked by these people. I mean, where do you see a place where a person that is trafficking children, and they are brought under criminal suit, and supposedly they kill themselves, but nobody saw it. The cameras accidentally went out at that specific time. And then there, you have all of these people that they were trafficked to, and they were trafficking alongside with him, but none of them have been exposed. Like, to me, that's suspect right there, that none of the people that he was trafficking to, that along with him, have been held to account at all.
So why don't we take some time to review, because there are going to be people that listen to this that didn't hear our former podcast on Epstein and your connection to that world. What was your experience being trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein over the years?
Well, for me, you know, I was, my main traffickers had me in that programming hospital from really 0 to 5. And then normally what they do is you have your specific job or what they train you that you're supposed to do in that portion of the country. And then they also connect you to higher level things, higher level people, to get continual programming. So at 5, I actually was signed over, like literally, like given ownership to Epstein. I mean, I literally saw the papers. It was like signed, like a product. Starting at 5, I was raped and tortured and trafficked by Epstein. The Epstein Island was actually used way before he was the owner of that. So there's a lot of underground tunnels underneath there. Some sources say that he filled in all of those, which that probably did happen. They had a lot at stake. But for me, there was a lot of like reality and then what I was going through. So there was in the underground where he was trafficking actual children, mm-hmm. Like little children, there was always a reference to the people upstairs is what he would always say. Well, if you perform good enough, then you get to go upstairs and, you know, just live life, like be around other people. You don't have to stay down here and really get hurt all the time. So it was kind of a thing that we always wanted to get to that perfection of being able to go upstairs. Of course, I'm sure that they were going through what we were going through as well as far as being trafficked. There's been people that have come forward and said that, you know, they have seen Epstein shapeshift and actually been in medical settings with him and saw a lot of scientists and everything come through there that they've experienced, and they, you know, corroborate that. He was very involved in a lot of testing, like on babies, whether they were aborted or if they had been killed. Did a lot of DNA testing on children, on babies, a lot of cryogenics, and Stephen Hawking was very involved. Of course, he wasn't physically doing it, but he was very demonic in the orders that he would give, what tests he wanted run on the babies or the children that I would see. And they really set up, it was kind of like a horse stall with very young children, including myself, in there in each stall. And so he would bring, like, leaders. I don't know who they were specifically, but a lot of them looked like you would think, like, royalty. As a child, I didn't know specifically who they were, but you knew that they were rich, important people, that he was really bringing them around to kind of showcase us, and he would rape us and, like, show our reactions to that, and, like, he would put a dog collar on me and, you know, just a lot of humiliation, a lot of sexual humiliation. And also through a lot of the halls, it was kind of like you think of like a laboratory in a way where they're doing all these different experiments and they want to show you the outcome of it. So, like, behind glass, we would be like, behind glass, and, like, for me, a lot of my program was, like, pretty pink princess, like, acting like it was a lot of denial, so they had trained my mind to completely shut off, like, any feelings, any pain, anything at all, so that they would, like, really try to showcase that and bring them by so they could really see the product that he had built, or the product that my main programmers had built, so they would know what works, what doesn't work. So this was, like, really, like, people from all over the world, like, not just the U.S.
And were you used by him in New York City as well?
Yeah, I definitely was taken to New York. My main trafficker took me there. It was like a joint reprogramming that they would do. It was kind of close to a downtown church, so they did some reprogramming there, just kind of route that Christian programming. They took me to a Christian conference in New York at the same time, and Biden was actually there as well as Epstein. But they have different walks, or I guess you call mountains, that they claim, and, like, one of them is the church mountain that they have, that they claim that, and they want to infiltrate. So they would send me to the Christian conference, and, you know, some of the people that were speaking there were good people. Some were not good people that were involved in the, you know, the trafficking and the torture and everything. But it was really, New York was like a symbol of, are you going to be free, or are you going to, are we going to get rid of you? So when I was taken there, it was really, they had programmed me to believe that if I ever was perfect and good enough, really from zero on, that I would have this knight shining armor that would rescue me, and I would not have to get tortured or anything or do anything evil, because my biggest fear was that I would actually hurt other people. So they, when they took me to New York, it was like, okay, we are going to provide you this man to marry, because they always set up the marriages, like who they put you with. We're going to set this up, but they want to program that you will never, ever, none of this will ever, like, your program is shut down. All of it has to shut down now, or you do not get the freedom of having someone to marry. It was like a Jesus. They programmed me as, like, my husband would be like a Jesus, like somebody who would save me and rescue me from all of that. So it was kind of a turning point for them to reprogram me and to make sure that that mountain, that church mountain, that they were staying in control of that.
I have an interesting follow-up question. You know, I've, over the years, met a lot of broken people and people that are at various stages of awareness of the source of the brokenness they're trying to overcome. Some people, they can't make odds or ends of the kind of emotional fallout they have, the kind of spiritual warfare they get caught up into, even the targeting that they can't explain, people following them around, you know, targeted individuals. And I've met a lot of women over the years, specifically women, that seem to have very narcissistic husbands that they went into those marriages worshiping. Like actually worshiping, just mm-hmm. like, you know, and could do no wrong. Mm-hmm. What are the chances that some of that is actually the fallout of what you're describing, that it's arranged, that there's a shutting down of the programming, but they're placing them into these marriages that with actual handlers that are just, you know, and they are being instructed to fall in line with the narcissistic.
Yeah. I mean, I think that has a lot, a root to that. Uh-huh. There is definitely a rootedness to that. Now, as far as if they are still being actively programmed,
yes,
they're not going to be connected with anybody that's outside of the cult. So yep. They're not going to have a husband mm-hmm. or a wife that's not programmed, unless they're specifically targeting that person to take down something like a ministry, like say it was a pastor or a leader over a ministry or something like that. But yeah, that is very common that they groom you pretty much from small on who you're going to be connected with. Who you're gonna, be placed with, really, to continue the programming, to continue the level of programming that they were doing, to kind of reactivate all of the things that they put in the foundation of the programming.
So, going back to the Epstein conversation. What do you think is happening with Ghislaine at this point?
I think, you know, I've heard different aspects of this from different people, but I think she was more of like a fall guy kind of, it was kind of like a Diddy situation where, we'll put this person out here in the front to kind of take the brunt of everything so that we can cover up what's truly going on behind the surface, the depth of what's going on behind the surface. But I didn't have any connection with her. She was normally very connected with the people that were kind of out in the open, like very involved. And I heard that she was very, from one survivor, that she was very cruel and just one of the worst ones. But I, as far as the underground, like the small children, I didn't have any connection with her. I think it was more of like the Mossad connection with Epstein and her father, and that's kind of how all that played out, because she was able to kind of be that front that he needed. That's what I don't know personally, but mm-hmm. that's what I think.
Okay. You know, the whole thing to me, it just... The story isn't finished being told for sure. And one of the things that really frustrated me was, you know, back when Epstein went down. I mean, he went really down, kind of like what we see going on with Diddy, which we'll get to in a second. You got a lawyer. I mean, you actually were listed as, you know, having case against the estate of Jeffrey Epstein.
Right.
I mean, before he died, after he died, and then it kind of, I mean, really came to nothing. I mean, I had some of my stuff subpoenaed. I had to give that to your lawyers. And it was very sad for me to watch that thing just completely come to like nothing. And to me, I always felt like someone pushed the invisible brakes from behind the veil and said, this is not. The testimony and the experiences of this survivor are not allowed to become part of the narrative that the public is allowed to accept about the Epstein problem.
Absolutely. Yeah, throughout the criminal case, you know, I just felt like I needed to go forward about what happened to me when I heard one of the survivors speak out, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I need to do this. And then, you know, what happened there, and I really had put it completely out of my mind. Never went into it thinking I would ever do a civil case. You know, of course, people that are trying to discredit me say, oh, she was just saying that because she wanted money. Never went into it thinking I was going to do a civil case. But I felt like the Lord said to go ahead and do that. So I got a lawyer. It was a very, very long 2 years. You wrote letters. I had a lot of people write letters about my character and, you know, really, you know, that they believed that to be the truth of what I went through. And then the day before I was supposed to give my testimony or my deposition, my lawyer called up. And after all that, they had gone through all kinds of getting all kinds of information, interviews, all kinds of stuff. And day before, just called up and was like, we're going to have to part ways, you know, we're dropping you. So I had to go. And at that time, I was going through a lot already. And I had to go and you know, kind of give my story to this panel of people online by myself with no representation. And pretty much it came down to, and I think it only took them like a day to even get back to me. They'd already determined what they were going to do. That, you know, I didn't fit the narrative that every, you know, all of the older victims were saying. So, therefore, it didn't happen. But I believe that was a manipulation to begin with. The whole compensation plan, I feel like it was set up to begin with not saying that some of the people that got, you know, payouts, which there wasn't much, but the people that got it, that wasn't valid. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying that the really deep level, young child stuff that was really going on, it was really more to suppress that and to discredit, because, you know, you say, well, I went through that and they didn't award me anything. So that's pretty much saying what you're saying is not true. So, yeah, that was a hard pill to swallow. And then, you know, recently with all of the we're going to release it, we're not going to release it, we're sending out these podcasters with binders that have all the things about Epstein on it. And, you know, meanwhile, you have people like me that went through hell hell, literal hell, that's sitting there, and like I could be in those videos. He had cameras everywhere. I mean, in every room, everywhere. Like they did not have anything that was not recorded. I mean, I could be on those things, but to know that someone else has power over that and they decide if I get to find out if I'm on those tapes or are there the tapes? Do we have that evidence? But to be so back and forth, you know, it just shows you that there's still a lot of people that are pulling strings that want to cover that up. I don't believe President Trump at all is involved in any of that. He's really done more for ending trafficking and exposing this than I know of, really. I went and spoke at the Senate his first term. Of course, I didn't share the whole story, but a little of the story. But I truly believe he's on the side of exposing all of it. Yeah, we'll see. I think it, like, we kind of go back to like what we were saying about a collective voice of like standing and saying, no, you're not going to silence this anymore. Like enough people joining together saying, we want the truth. Like it's not going to be decades like the JFK files. It's not going to be 30 years, 40 years later that, you know, it deserves to be now, because there's children that are being trafficked by these people right now. So,
well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think that's right. You know, the more people that use their voice, the more people that are willing to listen to those that are using their voice, the more momentum there becomes. I mean, at a certain point, you know, they call it like populist movement, but it's like people who appeal not to the narrative of the elite, but the felt need of the populace usually end up coming out on top eventually. And so, yeah, that whole thing was, it was just really, really sad, but the story is still being written, and more now is coming out because of this whole Diddy thing. And it's a very similar conversation, because you have situations where you have someone with a lot of power and a lot of money. I mean, you know, Epstein was not broke. He was extremely rich. Well, here we have P. Diddy, who was also extremely rich. Epstein was involved with different agencies and intelligence organizations, specifically Mossad. Exactly. I mean, that's a big one.
Absolutely.
Well, and now we have Diddy, but, you know, that was largely, it seems, CIA. And there's major protections until there's not. And then all of a sudden, now we see like a big takedown. There's a lot of videos now. I mean, what has been your reaction on the Diddy case, the trial that's been? I mean, it's actively happening as we're having this interview. I mean, what are some of your thoughts?
Well, I think that there's a lot of similarities, and there's like a crossover as well between the two, and. For the whole Diddy case, there's a lot of it's like we were talking about the mountains or the that they want to take over, and one of them is the music industry. You know, that's a huge one that they want to be at the top level, and they'll bring in governmental figures and military and all the infiltration into that to make sure that they have their product or their MK Ultra, like, you know, Justin Bieber. You know, we were talking about how, like, with Diddy, he kind of took ownership. That's real to Justin Bieber. That's kind of their, I mean, that's what they do. Like, they normally have you, have somebody take ownership over you as an MK Ultra, for whatever mountain they're wanting to control. And then you have, like, Britney Spears. Definitely MK Ultra, probably still being controlled today. And they try to make you think, they put it out in the media, oh, she's going crazy or he's going crazy, or to discredit who they are, the reality. I mean, anybody that looks at it and you say, you know, you're doing a video with this 15-year-old child and saying, we're about to get buck wild and, you know, like, you know, who does that? And it's just, I believe there's like a mirror resemblance. It's like you've got the out in the open, like they're kind of putting in your face. This is what's going on. But underneath that, there's the programming of these child stars and people that are involved in the Diddy parties, the freak offs or whatever. You've got the layers, and they're going to present what they want you to see, and because they feel like that gives them power, and then they're going to try to suppress the rest of it. But I really don't feel like that they had taken into consideration that any of what was going on would ever be brought in the open. Like, I think that has surprised them.
So, and this comes back to some of the stuff that we were talking about in the last podcast we did, because, you know, you were taken to facilities, you were shown the grids, you were actually, it was explained to parts of you, plants. When this person comes to power, this is what we're going to do, and this is going to be the phase of the operation.
Absolutely.
And when this person comes to power, this is what we're going to do, and this is going to be your job during that. And and they were laying it out years in advance. So you described that. Did you ever have it described to you when Epstein goes down or when Diddy is this or no?
As far as like what's going to happen in like the programming, I really feel like it was kind of a afterthought. And that sounds funny to say that with them, because they are very strategic in what they do. I think they had gotten to such, like with my main programmers, they had gotten to such a prideful place thinking that the program's never going to break down. Like, we can send you to these people and they can pray for you and you'll never, you know, we can program you about scripture and about Jesus and dress up like Jesus and rape you and all these different things, but they won't be able to get to you. I think they had gotten so prideful, they didn't think that they could be touched.
Wow.
I feel like that. And they're seeing that's not true, because actually it's really crumbling more than I ever thought it would.
So it's crumbling. So basically saying that this is a bit of a, I mean, from what was explained to you that you're aware of when you were fully controlled, this is definitely outside of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening?
Absolutely outside the plan.
Oh, goodness. Mm-hmm. And so some of this is damage control that we're watching.
Absolutely.
Or like thinking on the fly, like,
yeah, more of like, how do we put out just enough? Because that's a lot of what they do with programming. Like, they mix a truth with a lie, and that's why it's so powerful. Like, they'll use scripture and do other things. And like, so that little bit of truth with the other, like, that's kind of how they will control. So I think they've allowed like some of it to come out more. But I never knew of a plan that it would come to this. Like, this is, I really think it's the justice of Papa God, and the reality that survivors are being given a voice, and you know, you can only hear the truth like so many times before you, from different sources, till you start believing it. And I think that's what's going on, really.
All right, so All of that is very hopeful. And that's exactly where my heart is. I see that God is actually moving things around. I see that he is reacting because there are people taking a stand. We're some of them, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, I've been in this seat now for over a decade, and I'm not quitting. So there's good news. I want to change the conversation a little bit and come back to something that you had said earlier, dealing with other survivors now corroborating your account of Epstein was also involved in science, mm-hmm. Science projects on children. Mm-hmm. There were labs. Mm-hmm. They saw him shapeshift. Mm-hmm. Okay, there is a darker side of this world that a lot of people, I think, are still struggling to believe exists. So, you know, when people say shapeshifting, certain people tend to tune out. They're like, that's not possible. They're just wicked people. They're just evil mm-hmm. people that do bad things, but nobody shapeshifts. Or, you know, you have someone like Roseanne Barr come on and say, they eat babies, they eat children. And people are like, ah, ha, 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 ha. You know, mm-hmm. They don't do that. People don't cannibalize. I want to talk a little bit about that side of this mm-hmm. thing and what you have to say about that. I mean, do some of these evil people shapeshift? Have you seen that? Do these evil people cannibalize? What is the purpose of these kinds of practices? Talk to me.
Yeah, so absolutely. I've definitely seen shapeshifting into like a werewolf-looking figure, and then just kind of like more like a golem, kind of just very evil and demonic. I think what it's hard for people to understand is that there can be a time, you know, everybody's like, well, you know, anybody can get saved. And the reality is, yes, you can make a choice for Jesus anytime. But there are people that choose, like they know God, like know who he is. They know Jesus and know who he is. They know the Bible better than a lot of people know it. But they choose Satan, like 100%. They give their entire being over to Satan. Like they've already made their choice. It's like give them over to a depraved mind. They've already made their choice of who they choose. There's not any going back because they've already made their choice. So they become really their whole, like, it's not even really a creation of God anymore. It's really a embodiment of Satan. And so I think that's a hard thing, like, for people to really understand or grasp that if you ask Satan to take over, knowing full well what Jesus did for you, but you choose not to have that, all of that evil that indwells, like you ask the demons, they can really shift you into whatever form they want because you're not God's creation anymore. You have become completely evil. And so I would definitely see them shift into different forms, you know, very demonic looking, not human looking forms, like werewolf kind of, a lot of the werewolf forms they would use with me because they did a lot of programming that I was like completely out of control, that I was like going, while I was sleeping, I was sneaking out and killing people. And when I didn't know it, I was hurting people, which they correlated with, like, if anybody's ever watched, like, the werewolf stuff where they, like, really shift into that, to a werewolf, like, they don't even realize they're doing it. Like, it just happens overnight. So they, a lot of times they would chain me up and things like that. Just to reinforce that I was one, like I looked like them. I was like them. And then also with the cannibalism, they get demonic power from eating flesh of children. Like they feel a level of power and strength through that. So that's why they seek that out. They do, you know, they dismember people in horrid situations. You know, they, when you don't have a choice, they force you to do that, which is absolutely hideous, and it causes a lot of split to your personality. But yeah, there's a lot of that because they see it as the really highest level of power, consuming the flesh of a child. You know, like with adrenochrome and things like that. Like really consuming, like saying I'm taking on the form of God because I'm taking in this human flesh, like I'm above God. So it's done a lot, and a lot of satanic rituals, you know, connected with that, unfortunately.
So, obviously this is something that you've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of rituals where, you know, they would like fillet a person, like really like taking the skin off of a person because they kind of would wear that like a badge of honor, to give them, put it over them and give them power. Definitely saw that, was forced to participate in it.
Now, a lot of researchers have drawn, and myself included, incredible tangents between a lot of the things that are happening and Nazi Germany, World War II. Even the source of MKUltra being engineered through scientists that came over by way of Project Paperclip that were part of Nazi Germany. Mm-hmm. Mengele being one of them. Now, where do you see some parallels between your experience and, we'll just specifically single out Hitler and Mengele?
Well, you know, a lot of Mengele's experiments, mm-hmm. they took a lot of the mind control from, like, he was kind of like a basis for how they started doing, you know, continued to do what they were doing. A lot of like how your body functions. Like for me, they would connect me with different like heart monitors. And, you know, if my heartbeat went up, well, you're going to do something evil. This is what, when your heart does this, that means you're going to do something evil. It's just like warning you. So I will, a lot of times will have like heart pain, because, you know, I've been programmed like that's a warning signal. I'm a little afraid here, you know, I'm anxious here, like, and a lot of like, where they'll take you really to the brink of death, like through deliberate drug overdose, where, you know, you start to react and you can't breathe anymore, and they let you go to the very limit of that, and then, you know, inject something to you to keep you from dying, really. So then that you're like, you're being saved by them. So it's like, kind of like the programs with Mengele, in how to control the brain and how to control bonding. A lot of the, with the concentration camps and everything like that, you know, they did a lot of research like on the Stockholm and all of that and how to do the torture to a point to where you bond at such a level that it that you won't ever give them up, really. So, I mean, there's a lot, and like I said, they had a lot of German connections, my main programmers did. But then, of course, Epstein had a lot of Mossad connections. So there's a lot of, you know, Illuminati Zionists. There's a lot of Illuminati German descent. So there's in both. So you can't, like, rule out a certain culture.
Well, and that's, I mean, and this gets to some really, I think, a deeper layer. I think a deeper layer. You know, some of the, I think, highest level programming, and I know specifically what I would describe as end times programming, is done under the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Like, that has been described to me by multiple people over and over again through the years that have been there either in the flesh, which I have talked to those people, or in the astral plane. And what that means is they are having parts that astral project out of the body and are summoned to that location to be programmed out of body and then sent back into the body with updated programming. And what I would describe as a very powerful council of 13 that also seems to have meetings there and a portal to Babylon, which is not the surface world Babylon outposts, but actually like in another realm. And all of this stuff has been described to me over the years. And, you know, one of the things that comes out in your story is you do have these German programmers, but they are collaborating with someone who is backed by Mossad, which is basically Israeli intelligence. And when you do the backstory on Israel, and I'm not, and I want to be very clear here, I am not anti-Semitic, right? I'm not. I believe that Jesus died for everybody. And I am for the salvation of the nations. But there is something much deeper that connects through this vein between the powers, the power brokers behind some of these operations running through Israel. We can just call it that. Operations running through Israel and Germany and all connected to mind control and Illuminati agendas that I think are in many ways being sheltered even through exposure. Because that's really the part that we're not allowed to talk about.
Exactly.
Those
if you're
are,
a good Christian, you don't say anything that has to do with Israel that might be negative, which is not anti-Semitic. It's just being truthful that in every area there's Illuminati influence. It's not...
Well, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, but this seems to be the deeper layer. And you know, I think that it's very unfortunate. It seems like with Epstein, one of the... If I were to be looking at this from what I would assume their perspective is, if we started allowing survivors to include a deeper perspective that maybe say, oh, you know, Mossad is brokering in the trafficking of children, well... That wouldn't be part of what we want anchored to Epstein's narrative. So maybe we lock that part out at the highest levels. My concern is that we may run into something similar with the Diddy case and trial, where there is a certain layer that they allow us to understand. They were, you know, yeah, he was controlling these Hollywood actors and he was determining with phone calls who got the contracts, who got the movies, who got locked out. If they weren't at the parties, then they got locked out. You know, this, and we turn it into that layer, but certain layers are strategically hidden, and they're hidden by silencing the people whose testimony would expose.
Exactly. So if you don't address that, then those survivors are not, or the victims are not going to be able to be set free because they don't have anybody that's willing to go there to hear those testimonies of, you know, the Mossad and the Israeli or like Zionist influences. So I think as Christians, we have to be willing to, even though Israel is chosen by God, like, also know that there's people that try to imitate in everyone. It doesn't mean like every German is evil.
Of course.
You know?
Of course.
But there are evil people in even different jobs or whatever it might be.
And, you know, this is the part of it that really frustrates me because, you know, even like with trafficking and you know, a big conversation is housing for trafficked survivors that are trying to escape. And one of my things, because I've had several conversations with people in public and private, probably a lot more in private than in public, mm-hmm. but a few times on this podcast and other places, you know. And one of the things that I've found is within the anti-trafficking movement, there is a systematic dismissal on the mainstream narrative concerning satanic ritual abuse. Mm-hmm. There's a systematic dismissal of the conversation on mind control, specifically government-sponsored mind control. In fact, if you look at most of the organizations that provide survivor housing for trafficked victims, you will not find on their website the terms Illuminati, satanic ritual abuse, Freemasonic abuse survivors. You will not find MKUltra. They don't use those terms. They don't acknowledge those worlds. And they minimize the story to, well, you know, they were groomed on Instagram or in a video game chat room, and then they went off and then they were, you know, trafficked by who they thought there was a boyfriend, and then they were rescued, and now we just have to rehabilitate. And we take this world out, but the world that we're talking about is actually power brokering the whole system.
Mm-hmm.
And the systematic disintermediation of that world actually drives the world into a perpetuity cycle. You will never actually solve the problem if we don't bring this part of the conversation into the narrative.
Exactly. And they know that. Like, they know that. Like, the Illuminati, they know that. That's part of why they're able to get away with what they do. Like, they know that the church looks at normally, instead of following the Holy Spirit within them, like, they look at the outward appearance and don't go deeper, because, you know, we should love, we should, you know, be nice. But really, this is not nice. Like, and Jesus wants us to go into the places that are not nice, like, to acknowledge these places. And it's like, for me, I've been very, very rejected by the church, specifically my traffickers, my programmers. They put out a video about me showing, like, my birth certificate and a Christmas that we were supposed to spend together, and, you know, it's various, like, the first thing on the Google search that comes up. So a lot of people have looked at that and been, you know, initially said that they were going to give me a voice, but after seeing that, at face value, they choose to side with traffickers and programmers. Reality is, even in abuse situation, survivors and victims can pose in a picture or be in like what looks like a normal everyday, like, circumstance, but still being raped by that person.
Yep.
And even more so for, like, MKUltra and mind control, like, they set up those things that they don't know when they look at that video of me at Christmas, that I was being videoed the whole time to send on the dark web, and then after that being trafficked and tortured because they wanted to see the, it's like a comparison, like, this is what we made her and this is what we made her. And haha, we get away with it because the church, we know that the church is not going to look at the deeper truth behind this. But I think, and you know, even it comes to my mind, like even a birth certificate. How do you know that the person that signed that birth certificate wasn't a trafficker or a programmer as well? For me, that was the situation. It was very controlled, everything. There's a lot of people in hospitals that can forge those kind of, you know, the right people in the right place. And over decades and decades and decades, you can cover up these things. And they're very strategic in what they do. But I am encouraged that there are a lot more people now that are starting to look behind the surface. I think a lot of it is fear, like fear. I'm supposed to focus on what is that scripture we're supposed to focus on, you know, what's good and holy and perfect and all that. We're not going to focus on it. You're going to look at it, and then you're going to say, okay, God, what do I do with this? Like, I'm not going to, like, live in that extreme torture all the time, but, like, at least look at the truth and say, what do you want me to do with this truth?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Whatever things are holy, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, meditate on these things and focus on these things. And to take that and then say, well, that's why I'm not going to listen to you. That is, I think, a bit of cognitive dissonance on the overarching meta-narrative of what Jesus is actually calling his people to. And it's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you one final question. Why in 2025 are you still choosing Jesus?
I have experienced, like, there's the programmers and the traffickers and all that, they know that your experience matters, like what you experience. You'll do what you know to do until you know to do something different. I have experienced the true, honest Jesus, as I call him, because mm-hmm. he doesn't lie, at a level like it's not something somebody can take away from me. Like, I know that I experienced him, and I know that he has given me freedom. And, you know, I've never talked about this before, but there were two people, whether they were, I don't know if they were blood related, like I don't know specifically, but they were in the house that I was in when I was being programmed, and they're still being programmed today, and their names are Devin and Darren, and I still follow Honest Jesus, and I still speak the truth about this, and I will continue to do that till the day I die, because I want them to know that there's a way out. I don't want them to live in the hell that they're living in. A lot of people have no idea that they've gone through all of these things. Like, that's the level of programming and mind control that they're under. But I want to publicly say that if they listen to this, that there is a way out. And, I mean, I'm really living proof. Like, I'm not suicidal. I'm not being controlled and manipulated and tortured. I have a job, and I've had a job for like 7 years. It's like, you know, consistent, and they never, ever, they, you know, program me never, ever to be able to do that or have that. But that they're, I guess that the root of it is, like, finding out who I am. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not evil, and I'm not bad, and I'm not who they said I was, and who I really am, like, at the heart, because they said my heart was wicked. You know, they use that scripture, like, your heart is deceitfully wicked, and, well, Jesus changed my heart because he saved me, so it's not evil and wicked. So, that, you know, I want survivors and I want Devin and Darren to know that they are not evil, they're not bad, that the honest Jesus is different than everything that they've been told.
That's the final word. Friends, you've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Thank you, Hope.
Yay.
Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
You've been listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall. Visit me at danduvall.com, where you'll discover merch, books, and the opportunity to engage in our private social network. Join the tribe by subscribing to our email list and supporting this podcast.